The Irish Times, election 2011.
Well, there's still a few very interesting counts in progress, so we don't have final results, but I think it's pretty clear what the composition of the 31st Dáil will be now. I'm joined by Paul Cullen to discuss that composition, what it tells us about the election, and also where we go from here. It is an incredibly dramatic election, really, for every single party in the Dáil, for Fianna Fáil, for Fine Gael, for Labour, for Sinn Féin, and for the Greens, in very different ways, of course.
Yes, it's going to have far-reaching consequences for each of the parties. Eamon Gilmore was on the radio today talking about a 100-year history of Labour, and they've never seen such a transformation. Having said that, they have exceeded their highest seat level that they achieved during the spring tide in the early 90s, but only by a few seats. For Fine Gael, it's a best ever performance, and also the prospect of government as the dominant partner in a coalition, or possibly even some form of single party government supported by independents. And Fianna Fáil, of course, the worst ever election result, and reduced to just 20 seats, all of them male, most likely. Many of them senior politicians or long-standing politicians, and not the sort of fresh blood that a political party needs to renew itself.
A lot of Micheál Martin's young Turks have disappeared.
That's right. A lot of the Ógra Fáil generation have failed at the ballot box, and the party's going to have to rebuild from the very grassroots, and perhaps in the Senate election, but at the parliamentary party, it's not looking the most attractive prospect for Micheál Martin to lead. As I say, it's probably going to be all male, probably going to be older in age profile, as the Labour Party has been in the past while. So all the party can fall back on really is its very large and active youth membership and party structure. So there might be hope there. But and as for the Greens, they have lost all their seats. But the Greens know what it's like to be frugal. So, I mean, the Green ideology isn't going to go away. Their politicians have told us, so they'll have to build from the very bottom again.
But to focus on the two parties which are most likely, as you say, there is still an outside chance perhaps of a minority Fine Gael administration supported by independents, although the noises coming from senior Fine Gael backbenchers seem to be indicating against that because the gap is too large, essentially, so there'd be an issue of stability. But let's say for the sake of argument that the most likely government by far is a Fine Gael Labour administration. Both those parties, as you say, have had their most successful ever results, certainly in terms of seats. So in theory, they should be arriving at the negotiating table elated by their success. But it's strange that one doesn't quite get that.
Well, of course, there is the economic situation the country finds itself in. Secondly, there is the deadline imposed by events in Europe, which means that a deal has to be hammered out very, very quickly. And I think there's a general feeling that this isn't the time for triumphalism among the victors. There's definitely a nose-to-the-grindstone sort of feel about things. So far, we haven't seen much in the way of concrete moves between potential coalition partners, partially because the results have still to come in. Fine Gael are edging up towards the late 70s. Maybe they might get 77 seats. I think that is too few to give them a viable chance of forming some sort of administration with independents. I think it would be too flaky, and I think the electorate would give them a firm negative response the next time they got a chance to do that. So although you will hear different noises over the next few days, I think the momentum will be towards Fine Gael and Labour. Eamon Gilmore is saying today that it's Fine Gael's move now to open the bidding. But it's likely, I think, that there will be meetings of the party committees over the next few days. Negotiators will be appointed. There'll be an initial meeting between the party leaders. Negotiators will be appointed. And then they'll see what kind of agreement they can hack out of their talks. I mean, of course, there are large areas of policy where they are agreed. The interest will centre on the areas where there are differences, and there are quite considerable differences.
They had a good hack at each other at certain points over the course of the campaign over areas where they do claim to have serious differences.
Yes, I mean, first and foremost, on the EU-IMF deal, there's differences in the length of that deal for its implementation and the extent of the cuts. And, you know, that might seem like a matter you could talk about in a few words, but we're talking about billions of euro and billions of euro of cuts, so there's fundamentally huge issues there. There were also differences over student fees, over child support, and other issues. But, you know, I mean, none of the rows and squabbles that broke out during the electoral campaign really descended into the personal and petty, and certainly I didn't get the feeling there were any bridges burnt on either side.
I find it interesting myself that two of those issues you mentioned, child allowances or child benefit and also university fees, are issues in which Fine Gael is proposing, if you like, to penalise the better off by introducing charges in the case of fees in the case of university and withdrawing benefits in the case of, or taxing benefits in the case of better off parents. Whereas Labour is the party which is proposing to keep maximum benefits for the better off. It's an interesting conundrum.
Well, it is a fact that Labour draws a lot of its support from the middle classes. And that's a reflection that it's also got unwavering devotion to free fees, which was introduced by a Labour government in the 1990s and has been repeatedly criticised by academic and other reports as being unprogressive. However, the party is wedded to the concept and is very, very loath to move away from it. Of course, we have set up alternative names for what fees are, you know, contributions and so on. So free fees is a bit of a misnomer in the 21st century.
Sure, of course, yeah, with registration fees and everything else that's going on. But finally, a lot of focus will be on names and faces and, you know, who would be likely to be a minister. One could argue that that at times like these, that's the least important thing, but it can be extremely important. You referred to the fact that the Labour Parliamentary Party, the front bench, certainly is not necessarily all in the first flush of youth. They've been around for quite a while, but there are new faces coming through. One got the impression from some of the interviews done by some of the successful candidates for both Fine Gael and Labour given over the last few hours that some promises might have been made to get people like Peter Matthews, for example, to stand and some other candidates on the Labour side of at least junior ministerships. And there's bound with combined parliamentary representation of well over 100, there's bound to be quite a few disappointed people in that process.
Yeah, I mean, it will work this way. First of all, there will be negotiations about a programme for government. This won't be about jobs for cabinet or anything like that.
It might be about numbers, though, mightn't it?
Well, I mean, the breakdown there is fairly, you know, easy to see. Under current circumstances, there are about 15 seats in the cabinet, so it looks like 10-5, give or take one, create a super junior minister, as happened on previous occasions. So while there might be some to-ing and fro-ing and last-minute negotiation about that, that's the kind of breakdown. So the ratio of seats between Fine Gael and Labour is about 2-1, so you would expect something like that. Junior ministries pro rata again. You know, then it would be up to each party, more or less, to fill its quota, you know. And there are different geographical requirements to cover areas of the country, you know, where they might be weak, make sure there are women in cabinet and so on. That doesn't leave too many seats left over. That is the attraction for Fine Gael of some sort of alliance with independents, because they could preserve virtually all of those cabinet seats for their own party, if that could possibly be done, but I don't think it can.
We shall see. And of course, Enda Kenny still has the residual bitterness from the leadership heave last summer, and we'll see how well that'll be mended up if he only has 9 or 10 cabinet seats to give out. Paul, thanks for that.